Janajana Salakaya Chaksu Samilitan Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manubhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapandantikam Vansha Kalpatubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhayevacha Patitanam Pabinebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama. Continuing with the final section of the 86th chapter of the 10th canto, Krishna has left Dwarka to see his devotees who were enwrapped in thinking about him. They were thinking about him, and he was thinking about them. This is the wonder, the wonderful wonder of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that he is the devotee of his devotees. And when Krishna saw them, they offered prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, their worshipable Lord. And the prayers stressed the process of being with Krishna and attracting him, the process of hearing and chanting Krishna's holy names, and hearing and chanting about Krishna's pastimes. This naturally focuses the mind on Krishna when it is done by a devotee, because this increases the devotee's association with Krishna, because Krishna reciprocates with the devotee's devotional mood. So Krishna's reciprocation with the devotee's natural thinking about him, or even if it is not natural at the stage of natural, Krishna reciprocates with that by manifesting himself in the consciousness to differing degrees. Yayatam mam prapadyante. And finally, when the devotee is mature in his devotion and purified and not attached to anything in the material world but only attached to Krishna, then Krishna fully manifests himself in the holy name, in his katha. Krishna actually is there. He manifests himself in his katha. He can't help but being present because he's attracted to the devotee's love for him. He cannot move from that love that the devotees have for him. And on the other hand, the consciousness, as we heard yesterday by the Shukadev's prayers, the consciousness of a non-devotee is also a reciprocation with Krishna. They are atheists. They don't believe in God, and they see nothing. They look everywhere, and they don't see the Supreme Lord. There was a famous, the first Russian cosmonaut who went into outer space, being trained in the communistic theology. He said, "I went, but I did not see God." He saw his Moscow, as Prabhupada would quote, but he didn't see God. Because no devotion. And on the other hand, the devotee has captured, in Prabhupada's words, is the magic wand that touches the material energy. In other words, the magic wand is a kind of consciousness that touches the material energy that causes the devotee to see Krishna everywhere. The atheist sees Krishna nowhere, And the theist sees Krishna everywhere, premanjana churita bhakti valochanena, because his eyes are coated with love. He sees Krishna everywhere. And the non-devotee, his eyes are coated by enmity with Krishna. And he sees Krishna nowhere. So, the end of Shukadev's prayers, I found quite interesting. What he asked for ultimately was just service. And astonishingly, this is the end of the desire of a devotee. It's for service, but not work. It's devotional service. It's the gesture that allows the heart to be expressed. It is the flower, when offered at the lotus feet of the Lord and the Lord's devotees, doesn't have very much value as a flower, but it's carrying the devotion of the offerer, of the devotee, and therefore it is so much appreciated. I once saw Srila Prabhupada in his room in Mayapur, and there was some conflict at that time in 1976 amongst the devotees. And Prabhupada, he took out a set of counter beads that a Mataji had given him. And he said, "How can I not accept this? It's offered with devotion." Prabhupada had no need for counter beads, or if he went like this, hundreds of devotees would bring forth thousands of sets of counter beads. But because they were offered with devotion, he was forced, in one sense, out of the softness of his heart, to accept them. He had to accept them. They were offered to him with affection, with devotion. So Shukadev asked for this one thing: service, seva, devotional service. And to be separated from service, there's torture for a devotee. He has to internally just think about service, just think about things he can offer. And in that way, Krishna will even accept that. But a devotee means service, devotional service. So Shukadev finished his prayers. And then Bahulasva had spoken, Shukadev had spoken. To whom? To Krishna. And now it is time for Krishna to respond. So the response is to Shukadev, because that was the last part, but also the same response was given to Bahulasva. And Krishna's words in response are 7 verses. Their words were 6 verses. A little more from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I see in the Bhagavatam that if we look at it carefully, there are no things that are whimsically put. In everything has meaning. Everything has meaning. So Krishna, first thing he did was, does anyone know what the first thing that Krishna did? He took Shukadev's hand in his own hand. And our acharyas say that this was a gesture of Krishna's affectionate friendship. And by doing this, he's offered prayers to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whom he's been thinking of and worshiping. And there he is. Krishna has come to his house. And he takes the hand of Shukadev. Now, what do you think when that soft lotus hand of Krishna's, which is composed of eternity, bliss, and knowledge. And he is Shrutadeva's worshipable Lord. And that Lord has taken his hand in his own soft hand. And in the words of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Krishna was now going to drown him in an ocean of affectionate friendship. And in seven verses, how is he going to respond to this? They've glorified him as the Supreme Lord. How is he going to respond? So I'll first read the 50th verse, which describes Krishna's taking him by the hand. Sukadeva Goswami was there at that time, and this is how he's describing it. And it's interesting because he's describing both parts, Shrutadeva and Bahulasva, because he was there in both. So after hearing Shrutadeva speak these words, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who relieves his surrendered devotee's distress, took Shrutadeva's hand in his own, and smiling, he spoke to him as follows. An interesting point. A surrendered devotee's distress, but is a surrendered devotee in distress? What is the nature of the distress of a surrendered devotee who sees and accepts everything that occurs to him, which is basically what surrender is as Krishna's mercy, as the touch of Krishna's hand, as Krishna's affectionate reciprocation with him, and as for his mercy. So what is his distress? In one of Prabhupada's Queen Kunti lectures, he says that the distress of a devotee is that he's missing Krishna. He's missing his Lord. He wants to be with Krishna. It is a transcendental distress. And Krishna removes his surrendered devotee's distress by just how he's doing it. He's come. He will be with his devotee. If we actually surrender and want to be with Krishna, Krishna will always be with us. Kirasmas, could you grace this cushion with your mountain-like presence? Kirasmas ki jai. Please. Are those books coming up here? Oh, how exciting. When I see all those books. Wow. We're going to give class together. So Krishna says, they've glorified him, and Krishna immediately begins to not directly glorify Shrutadeva and Bahulasva, but he glorifies the sages, his devotees, that he's carried on his own chariot. He's insisted that they travel on his own chariot with him. And he's going to glorify them because they are devotees. He's forced his devotees to be with him. He's forced his devotees to avoid the austerities of walking. By keeping them close to him. The Supreme Lord said, my dear Brahmana, he's saying this to Shrutadeva, you should know that these great sages have come here just to bless you. They travel throughout the worlds with me, purifying them, meaning the worlds, with the dust of their feet. Now Sukadev, speaking this to Maharaj Prickett, it also has the meaning that at the time of Maharaj Prickett's leaving this world, this great sage Sukadev has come to bless him, to be with him at that very intense and difficult time. And Srila Prabhupada explains in one purport that this is a mark of the blessing, specifically of the blessing of Krishna, when holy persons or a holy person appears at the time of our departing from this world. If they come, this is Krishna coming. This is the channel that Krishna is giving his blessings through. This is the channel, and this is the point that Krishna is going to make. These highly qualified Brahmins who are immersed in Krishna consciousness, who have assimilated the Shastra and pulled out its essence, and have assimilated that essence, and the essence of all Shastra is Krishna. Krishna's service, Vedischa Savarahama Eva Vidyo. And they're carrying that with them. They're carrying Krishna with them. And therefore, their presence and their words carry Krishna. Their words are decorated with the saffron particles of dust, as Srila Prabhupada explains in the Bhagavatam, from Krishna's lotus feet. So Krishna says, they travel throughout the worlds with me, purifying them with the dust of their feet. This is also stated by Krishna in the 14th chapter of the 11th canto. He says there the same point, so because it's such an important point. With the dust of my devotees' lotus feet, I desire to purify the material world. This is the process by which the material world becomes purified. The material worlds are situated within me, and by the dust of the devotees' lotus feet, I desire to purify the material worlds. Thus, and listen to this, I always follow the footsteps of my pure devotees. That means the devotee comes, and then right behind him, Krishna will be coming. And if we try to capture Krishna without the devotee, it's not Krishna's way. He explains this in the Bhagavad Gita in Sarvadhamam Pratyaja. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that in your case, Arjuna, my heart has melted so much, I am breaking my principle. I will give you ananya bhakti, pure devotional service. I will award it to you myself. I'm breaking my principle, my own promise, that it will come through my devotees in no other way. My pure devotees, I always follow the footsteps of my pure devotees who are free from all personal desire. Quality of the devotee, free from any selfishness, wrapped in thought of my pastimes, peaceful without any feelings of enmity, and of equal disposition everywhere, so exalted that Krishna is following them. It is the question is that sometimes asked, when Sudama Brahmana came to Dwarka to see Krishna, and he didn't ask, he was so poor, poverty stricken, and he didn't ask Krishna for anything, and then Krishna externally didn't give him anything. And Sudama Brahmana left and walked home. And then when he got to his home, he saw that there was so much benediction, so Krishna was gave him so much. But the question is sometimes asked, why did Krishna let him walk home? Why didn't he help him? He was poor, he was thin, he was emaciated. Why didn't he at least send him home in a chariot? And here is the answer. With the dust of my devotees' lotus feet, I desire to purify the material worlds. So Krishna, Jai Sachinandan, Jai Sachinandan. And the answer was, Hare Krishna, Sri Krishna. And the answer was that Krishna wanted his kingdom to be purified by the dust of the lotus feet of this devotee Brahmana, who is completely a Kinshana, who is pure and focused. And this was Krishna's kingdom, which was marked with his own lotus feet footprints. So how much respect Krishna has for his devotees, he's described Krishna himself from his own lotus-like mouth he's describing. One can gradually become purified by seeing, touching, and worshipping temple deities, places of pilgrimage, and holy rivers. But one can attain the same results immediately by receiving the glance of exalted sages. So powerful. By his very birth, a Brahmana is the best of all living beings in this world. This is during the time when there was actually breeding of Brahmanas, when people were bred in families so that they would have Brahminical consciousness only of the mode of goodness. And therefore, by further training and further devotion and shastra, naturally, Krishna consciousness would develop in them, and they would, and their whole life was spent in studying and teaching shastra. So how powerful these persons were. They were going, they didn't have divided minds. They were going in one direction only. Maybe on different levels, but in one direction. They didn't have part of them Brahmins, part of them Kshatriyas, part of them businessmen, part of them workers, and all those parts, as especially with Westerners, all going in different directions. They were one thing. But yet there were gradations amongst this. So a Brahmin is best by birth, the best of all living beings in this world, and he becomes even more exalted when he's endowed with austerity, learning, and self-satisfaction. What to speak of with devotion to me? Even my forearm form is no dearer to me than a Brahmana. Within himself, a learned Brahmana comprises all the Vedas, just as within myself I comprise all the demigods. The meaning of this verse is that within Krishna all the demigods reside, and within the Brahmana the Vedas and their conclusion resides. And this is the essential reason why the Brahman is so dear to Krishna. He has captured the absolute truth from Shastra. And when he travels from place to place, he gives that, the conclusive absolute truth. He carries Krishna and he gives it. He gives Krishna wherever he goes. In the world of darkness, he gives light. In the world of plastic, in the world of glass, he gives jewels. Another analogy, in the world of technology, he gives, huh? Knowledge. That's what's alive in him. When Satchinanda Raj has been speaking from the Manasiksha, and he's saying, in relationship with Krishna, meditate on Krishna, this is the essence of what he's saying. Well, here is devotees devotees. But Krishna should be alive in us. Our relationship with Krishna should be alive in us, not just theoretical within us. And I've chanted my rounds, as Prabhupada said, now I've chanted my 16 rounds, I can do any damn nonsense. No, it should be, Krishna should be alive in us. Krishna and Krishna's service and Krishna's names and Krishna's glories and Krishna's form should be alive in us. Bhakti should be alive in us. And such a person who has bhakti alive in them, wherever they go, they give that. They can't help it. It's their life. Ignorant of this truth, of how dear such devotees are to me, to the Supreme Lord. Foolish people, am I correct? Yes. Ignorant of this truth, people neglect and enviously offend a learned Brahmana, who being none different from me, Sakshat Hari, is their spiritual master and very self. They consider worshipable only such obvious manifestations of divinity as my deity form, and they neglect a devotee. This is prior bhakta, like a devotee. And because he has realized me, a Brahmana is firmly fixed in knowledge that everything moving and non-moving in the universe, that means everything, and also the primary elements of its creation are all manifest forms expanded for me. Stavaram jagamam deki na deki taramoti suvacha hoyanija ishtadev. Everything in existence, there's no question of being alone or lonely for such a realized person. They are always suridam because they want that. To see things as separate from Krishna means placing myself as the enjoyer of those things. Nirbandha, Krishna Sambandha. Everything is Krishna's, and let me use everything for Krishna. Therefore, and Srila Jiva Goswami says, now I will tell you, Shrutadev, in these verses, the secret of you getting everything that you desire. And he's been explaining it through the devotees. Therefore, you should worship these brahmanas. I didn't read that quotation, but I had assimilated. Jiva Goswami, Krishna gave respect to the bhakti of his devotees. It's his own internal energy. And taught the method by which Shrutadev could attain his desires. This is it. From the heart of the devotees. Therefore you should worship these Brahmana sages, O Brahmana, with the same faith you have in me, Sakshad Hari. If you do so, you will worship me directly, which you cannot do otherwise, even with offerings of vast riches. Sri Sukadev said, so instructed by his Lord, with single-minded devotion, Shrutadev worshipped Sri Krishna and the topmost Brahmanas are coming together, not one and not the other, together. And King Bahulasva did the same, because Krishna gave them both the same instruction. Thus both Shrutadev and the king attained the ultimate transcendental destination. O king, thus the personality of Godhead who is devoted to his own devotees, regardless whether they're kings, wealthy, or poor, stayed for some time with his two great devotees, Shrutadev and Bahulasva, teaching them the behavior of perfect saints. Then the Lord returned to Dwarka, and that's the end of this chapter. Now, a few more simple points in this. And when one hears about these great devotees, oh, but first, one thing I saw yesterday. when I was walking in Govardhan, on this way down Govardhan, there were so many parikramis. There were so many people on parikrama. And also, I saw there was a herd of buffaloes, maybe 10 or 12 buffaloes, also on the dirt part of the parikrama marg. And nowadays, instead of having cowherd boys and buffalo herd boys, you see men riding on motorcycles herding them. I don't know if you've seen it, but I've seen it quite a few times. And what happened was this person was herding his buffaloes on the parikrama marg, and the buffaloes spooked, as we would say. They got upset and they started running. And they all started galloping together. And a herd of buffaloes galloping together was quite frightening. And they were coming right behind these devotees walking on the parikrama marg. And some of the other devotees walking who saw the buffaloes, and they were behind these parikramis, and there were some other people who saw them, and they started calling out so loudly, with strong language. Loudly, they called out, "Be careful, beware, there's danger here, there's danger. See it, turn around and see it." They had to call out strongly, they had to call out loudly, because the situation was so dangerous, and these parikramis were faced in the opposite direction and wouldn't see it unless they were called and turned around. And that reminded me of Srila Prabhupada. And so much of his preaching, just as we're hearing there, how did he do what he did? By going to places that people never even heard of Krishna, never saw Krishna's picture, and enthusing them with the life of Krishna consciousness that was blazing in his own heart, to not only chant Hare Krishna, but to give up their whole lives to his service and Krishna's service. It was actually impossible to do it. And he did it. And he did it so much with the call of the friendly parikrama people who saw that the other people were in danger. And he called and he preached so strongly and so loudly with strong and heavy words to get everyone's attention so that they would see the actual danger that was stalking them, like a herd of maddened buffaloes stampeding. With that as an introduction, I wanted to play a short segment from a lecture that I heard, because I wake up every morning with a lecture of Prabhupada's. And this was what was on this morning. And it was Prabhupada. Wait, just 1 second, please. I just wanted to say that I felt early in the morning to hear Prabhupada's words so strongly telling you to wake up, there's danger and things like that. It's very interesting. And sometimes you get exactly the right words you need. In this one, probably 10 times I felt my just budding awakening false ego being pinched. Prabhupada's expertise was provoking and pinching the false ego so that we would wake up and turn around and see the herd of buffalo of death stalking us, stampeding over us. So see if your false ego gets pinched with Prabhupada's strong words. Okay, now We're not able to project it. We don't have handouts. So please listen very closely. It's only 5 minutes.
It is suffering.
Loudly.
That's all right. Still, I shall stay here. No, that is also not possible. You have to die. You cannot solve this problem, miserable condition. Ultimately, you have to die. So people do not understand. Therefore, they are called murad. They are simply making arrangements. How to become happy. It is not possible to become happy here. That's a fact. But still, therefore they are called murad, rascals.
First time rascals.
Which will never be possible, and they are trying for that. You see, whole world is trying to be happy. They are discovering so many technological arts. They are dying. They cannot. They have invented horseless carriage. Speedy carriages. But there are so many dangers. Every moment, the life can go. The motor accident, and it is happening in the Western country. So whatever you do for the advancement of material civilization, you are one side increasing more danger. If you did not discover this aeroplane and motor car, then death would not have been so easy. You could live at this for some days. But because you have discovered some facilities, your death is also become near. So this is prakriti. You are trying to solve the problem in one way, and the problem is becoming more dangerous and difficult by the laws of nature. That these rascals cannot find.
Second
rascal. Continually what? There is a verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Pasannapi na pasyati. They are so big rascals, the Pasannapi na pasyati. Even they are seeing every moment that all our endeavors are being baffled. You see, they try. Again, Alec, punapunachar mitachar banana. These things are punapuna. Again and again, chewing the chew. This is their business. Therefore, they are called murad. Murad, they do not find that all our attempts. Therefore, the Shastra advises, you simply make one attempt how to advance in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, what? Only one. That chance you cannot get in other form of life. You are a cat, dog, you do not get it. And what is that? Tatyaiva hi to prajati to kovida na labhyate yada pravatara parjata. By the laws of nature, you are getting different types of body in different planets, in different situations, and so on, 8 million, where you are loitering in this way, but you could not get Krishna consciousness. Now here is the chance. Even form of life. And the Krishna consciousness movement is there. Take it seriously. If you are actually intelligent, kovida, very intelligent, then you take much. Krishna devade seva rachatu. Anyone who takes the Krishna consciousness is first class intelligent person. All other tools left. You can call. There is no harm. We are actually fools and rascals. We are started. And it is not our manufactured word. Krishna says, Samāga duṣkṛtanam mūḍhā prabandhante narāt. Anyone who is not surrendered to Krishna, anyone who is not Krishna conscious, he is rascal, he is sinful, he is the worst of the mankind, he has no knowledge, he is not to have. This is all. Sometimes they come to fight us. I said, you say, such a great man, rascal. Well, we must say, yes, he is a rascal. Where is his greatness? Rava bhaktasya kuto mahadguna. Anyone who is not Krishna conscious, he cannot be a great man. This is our conclusion. There is no question. Immediately, as soon as you see his seed against Krishna, or he does not know Krishna, then he is a refuge. That's all. Namāna jaskitanam mūrhā prapadyanti nalā lamā māyā puritam jyanā āsudīvā. So, this Hiranyakasipu was a great rascal, so he is killed, nobody is happy. This is the position for Lord Mahārāja is requesting Lord Vishnu. Everyone is happy, so kindly be peaceful. Hare Krishna.
That was my wake-up this morning. So now, thank you. Giriraj Maharaj, would you like to speak about this soul, Srila Prabhupada, who has traveled throughout the world and was carrying Krishna and gave Krishna so generously?